You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Okay, 12 days to go until Election Day. Through these long months of campaign speeches, Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes believes both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton have missed the mark addressing an issue that's key to Michigan's future. Daniel, you say the candidates and their surrogates are putting out a message that fits the Carter era and not the era of Apple and autonomous vehicles. How so?
Well, I think you get a lot of people talking to particularly blue-collar audiences and saying, you know, we're going to bring jobs back. We're going to essentially go back to the future. And the future's not coming back. Technology and has moved in such a way that automakers, for example, can produce more cars than they ever have before with a lot fewer people. A lot of the hires that these companies are trying to make are requiring people to have not only a solid high school education, but in many cases, some degree of post-secondary school training. And in fact, you talk to manufacturers today, to use one example, they will tell you that in some cases, like in the city of Detroit, they have to screen three times as many people to fill, say, 100 jobs because they're trying to find people who are adequately equipped. And I think one of the big lies that is told by politicians, whether it's told locally at the state level or nationally, is that the workforce is ready. And I think in a lot of cases, the workforce is not ready. And here we have business leaders and politicians in Michigan, at least, who are staking the future on being the next hub of mobility, the national, if not international, hub of mobility. Yet we've got public schools whose educational attainment continues to decline.
In fact, in your column, you cite those latest findings from the Education Trust Midwest, and we've talked about them here on Stateside and talked to them, pointing to Michigan's talent crisis, calling our public education system broken. And their findings say Michigan's K through 12 system is among the weakest in the nation and getting weaker. Isn't that really, though, on state lawmakers? They're the ones controlling the purse strings.
Yeah, and I don't want to be misconstrued. I mean, I think I'm writing this piece in the context of the national presidential campaign, but yeah, it absolutely is. And I think the other thing, I've already gotten email today about this and people, you know, pointing and focusing this exclusively on the city of Detroit, and I don't think that's fair. I mean, clearly the city of Detroit's public school system has a lot of issues, and you've talked about them many times on your show. Mm-hmm. I've written about them. The other thing that the Education Trust Midwest points out is that these problems are not limited to urban school districts like in Detroit and Pontiac and Flint and cities like that, that a lot of suburban districts are having the same kinds of problems in terms of educational attainment. And I think what you have is a lot of parents and just average folks that live outside of those urban areas who kind of smugly sit back and cross their arms and say, not a problem in our community. Well, I think Education Trust Midwest is saying, well, yeah, it is.
Yes.
And you're falling further and further behind, you know, states like Massachusetts, of course, which is the leader. But it's not just Massachusetts. There's an awful lot of other states that are moving ahead. It's not so much that Michigan is getting a lot worse as it is a lot of other places are getting better. And we continue to fight the last war. And I think it's also a reflection to some extent of the culture here. Despite the fact that the car companies are very technologically driven, to use them as one example, or you've got healthcare in Detroit and in Ann Arbor, or life sciences in Ann Arbor and East Lansing, you've got all that stuff going on, you still have an overarching culture here that has not necessarily prized education and higher education for its own sake. And that's a function of the history here. And I think this is not just a policy thing at the level of Lansing and maybe locally, but it also is a cultural thing. And what are the cultural values? And I've long believed that a lot of this begins at home. It begins at the kitchen table. It begins in the values that parents and guardians are setting for teenagers and the people they hang out with.
Well, so as we hear over these long months of campaigning talk of building walls or rewriting NAFTA or killing TPP, and you point out none of that's going to give more Michigan kids the chance to learn the skills they need for the 21st century economy, what do you think the national level, the presidential candidate's part in all of this should be? Or we should say at this point, the next president.
Well, I know this is heresy to say, but I just wish they'd be more honest about it. We live in a global economy, and I don't think there's any question that in large swaths, particularly in the United States and in parts of Western Europe, you're starting to see some real backlash against globalization. But I think to some extent, it's somewhat misdirected. Are there situations maybe where trade deals have not been advantageous to the local folks? Probably. But remember something. The world has fundamentally changed. And let's use Bill Clinton as an example. It's fundamentally changed since Bill Clinton took office. China came into the global economy. The Soviet Union fell. Eastern Europe opened up. India became a player in the global economy. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, which is when some of these people are kind of conjuring the good old days, half the world was essentially a closed market. And you couldn't compete in American companies and British companies and German companies. In a lot of cases, couldn't compete in those countries. They were untapped markets. Well, now those markets have opened up, and they want to be players, and they are players. And they're not just players from a manufacturing and product standpoint, but they're also educational players. They're sending their people to the United States and to other places to work. And American companies are hiring them in part because they've got the qualifications, the technical qualifications that a lot of American schools aren't necessarily producing.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. As always, Daniel, thanks so much.
Thank you.